It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? How you doing this morning?
We are awesome. Rex Super. Road is fully rested up from the beach vacation last week that he took. He's ready to go.
Yep, got some pictures. I'll send you some pics, Charles, me on the beach.
Yeah, we didn't talk about you at all. Just taking a little vacation right in the middle of the heart of football season and everything else going on. Nothing like a little.
Kuharski definitely did not bring that up. Fall break is a Tennessee phenomenon. I don't know, man. I just do what I'm a Tennessean. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. I was working with a couple other Tennesseans that day. I don't know like, you know, what you want me to do.
I work hard, Charles.
There is that.
I need to rest.
There is that. So, Charles, speaking of Tennesseans, not going well for the Tennessee Titans right now. And I said earlier on the show this week, I'm officially out on Levis. I know that we've talked about examples around the league of other players surfacing elsewhere and becoming good quarterbacks, and maybe that does happen with him somewhere down the road. But personally, I'm out on Levis. I have seen enough at this point to make my determination. I don't necessarily expect the Titans to agree with that, but as you watch him play, as you watch this team play, as you talk about this team with other people around the league, what comes to mind and what do you make of just the ineptitude that we continue to see on the offensive side of the football?
Well, I think the way I kind of look at it is look at Drake May, okay? Go in and look at the Patriots offense in week 5, and then look at the Patriots offense in week 6. And, you know, obviously Jacoby Brissett he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's going to be a spot starter at times. So he'll have a nice, solid, long career. He has had a long career. That's what he is. So, you know, I don't want to be careful making the comparison from one week to the next, but May stepped into a situation with the Patriots. Offensive line is absolutely destroyed. I think there are two reasons why they ended up starting him, which I didn't agree with initially. I thought, you know, why are you going to roll him out there? The line is as bad as it's been all season long. It progressively got worse, and now you're making the decision to roll him out under the assumption that, well, okay, he's turned some kind of a corner where it comes to the absorption of the offense or whatever else you're seeing in practice. And I think part of it had to do with, okay, they probably think the offensive line situation is not getting better, could deteriorate and actually get worse from where it is now. So we're always going to face that problem with them. But then, from what I understood, the second factor was there were offensive players, specifically receivers, who were like, we need to get the dude out here. Like, we need somebody to get us the ball, okay? Like, we need – like, and I don't think it was a huge knock against Brissett. It was just sort of like, the receiver saw this was somebody who could make things happen on offense, spark things. He definitely had the ability to, I think, get the ball to players in positions where they could do something with it. And from what I understood internally, that was part of the Brissett decision, was just receivers were very much in favor of it. So they make the change. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. he turned the ball over three times, two picks, a strip sack fumble. One of the picks was an insane interception that I can't even believe this Texans player picked it off. Like it was wild when you watch it. But when I watched what he did, there was a level of confidence that he had. He hits DeMario Douglas at one point with this, it was a slant, right? But he hits him so perfectly with it. Douglas takes it for like a, plus touchdown. That was like 40, 50 yards. I can't remember off the top of my head what exactly it was. He hits Keyshawn Booty for like a 40-yard touchdown on a post route, the only post route they run the entire game. Perfect ball, right? He hits Hunter Henry, I think it was an out route. All of these, there was just a level of confidence watching him throw the ball. There was a, when he made mistakes, he didn't, that was another thing too. I'm like, okay, is this where he goes in the tank? Is this where the wheels come off? It didn't happen. And now it's only one game and he could be awful the rest of the season. I could look like an idiot, but it concerns me when I see certain guys step in and immediately you see a spark, which I guess we, that did happen with Levis too. I remember Levis's first start thinking, okay, wow, here we go. And it was a really big game. But it progressively, especially this year, you've just seen progressively one moment after another, him not have the ability to respond, to get some sort of traction. And especially with the skill position pieces, they are much better in Tennessee than they are in New England. And, so that to me is one of these examples where I look elsewhere and I'm like, is this situation worse? Yes. Is there every reason for this guy to fail in this moment? Yes. And then he doesn't. And, it's obviously it's not a perfect one for one, but I think after a while you're just like, to me, and I know Joe disagrees with this, I think you got to pull back a little bit. And I actually thought against Indianapolis in a bad defense. Let me ask you guys, don't you think offensively it was clear that there was a limitation on that playbook, like a limitation of exposure? Like, didn't you feel like?
Yeah, we've been talking about that
like,
all week.
Yeah, they were protecting him, right? I mean, that's what it felt like. They're starting to limit, potential for him to make mistakes. And I'm not saying that means he's done, but that's definitely a sign that they're going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out, okay, how can we change the dynamic here to give him a chance for at least some limited success? And then hope to build on that. It's a tough, position to be in, but realistically, most quarterback draft picks it doesn't work out. And so if it doesn't, I know it would be disappointing for Titans fans, but that happens all across the league with multiple guys. Even with the success of the rookie class this year, which I think has been remarkably successful so far, the four guys who have started, I guarantee all four of those guys aren't going to make it. Like there's going to be some failure within that group, and then we'll see what happens with Penix and McCarthy. I think now, if you're a Titans fan and it gets worse than 1-4, you start focusing on what does the next, quarterback draft class look like.
Yay!
Yeah, I hate to make this joke, but it should bond Tennessee fans to Lions fans. I remember covering the Lions. And one day it was Mari Morenweg's first year. They start 0-2, and this was back before social media. This is when they had message boards, right? And it's 0-2, and I'm sitting in the the little reporter's cubby or whatever, and I'm looking at one of the message boards, and there's a Lions fan who said, and this is 0-2, this is mid September. He says, "Man, I really hate this downtime before the draft." That's the Lions experience, 100%. They're 0-2, it's over. Let's start thinking about the draft.
Well, let's go there because, first of all, my God, like, does Dan Campbell just hate Jerry Jones? That's one thing I'd love to know because he's seriously trying to get everybody but the long snapper a touchdown.
But also,
the Lions, I mean, they look pretty freaking good, but now they've lost their best defensive player. So I proposed, as a possibility, Harold Landry, the Titans, they're headed toward being sellers, of course. I mean, now the question is, you're going to sell off someone you still think can be good for a few years when you can't just wait forever to be good. But I proposed Harold Landry, and I – I said, if I'm the Titans, I'm not doing this unless I get a first back, which I know sounds rich for a Harold Landry, but the Lions could be desperate here. There's also Myles Garrett. There's Max Crosby, and Mark Davis is talking about no way we're trading him. Also, Tom Brady's going to train all of our quarterbacks. But how do you see that playing out, and do you think that my idea has any validity to it?
I would love that for the Lions. I really would. And I'd love it for the Titans if you could get a first out of Landry. It's rich, you know. And the one thing that gives me pause, and I mean, I guess the Lions at this point, they just signed Billy McNeil. They're doing deals with everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently they're not worried about finances no matter what. But they've got, you know, like Hutchinson is I think he gets extended this offseason despite the gruesome leg injury. I think he's the rarer defensive end who after 3 years gets treated like a quarterback, where it's like, we're not going to wait for 4 years to do you. We're going to extend you after three. And so there's that in play. They already have to do a big extension with him. I wonder if Landry were dealt, whether or not he would want a contract adjustment or not, because he's still got a couple years left on his deal that are, you know, it's not like the paycheck's horrible, but I mean, he could probably push if he got dealt and say, hey, I want a little extra money kicked into my deal, or, you know, some guaranteed money that's not there. I want that put into the deal. So I think that could complicate it. But really what I think complicates it is that Hassan Reddick at this point with the Jets, even for a ham sandwich, like the Jets are so up a creek with him and it's so nasty. And I know the Lions checked in on Reddick as soon as he changed representation. Obviously got dumped by CAA, and Drew Rosenhaus picked him up, and they're doing everything they can to trade him. I think Reddick is probably at very best, they're probably looking at getting like a fourth that graduates into a third, which is similar to what, you know, they gave up to Philly to get him. And I think Reddick now being where he is at this point in the season, I don't know that he necessarily pushes for his contract to be redone the way he was with the Jets. So, you know, Reddick, it's just ultimately going to be a cheaper option on the table than Landry. I would much rather have Landry. But again, it's just all about what ultimately do you have to give up at this point. And I don't think Reddick's the only guy either. Like in a perfect world, do I think that they could make, you know, try to make a run for like a Max Crosby and go, okay, let's figure out financially how we can do this and maybe have Crosby and Hutchinson long term. That is a absolute pie in the sky. I mean, you'd have to hire like three more cap people at that point to try and figure out
Myles Garrett.
How are we going to, yeah, I mean, like Miles is another guy, but those were, so I reached out to somebody of the Raiders and I was like, you know, is there any shot that the Lions would have at Crosby? And because I don't think he's like Mark Davis's favorite Raider ever, I think. And I don't think Mark Davis would deal him, but I asked this individual, I said, well, you know, what do you think? And he said, I think Mark would never do it. However, he's like, if Max were to demand a trade, like he was like, basically Max would have to pull a Devontae and be like, I have a calf. I'm not playing anymore. And, you know, figure it out behind the scenes, tell him, figure out, you know, deal me. And then like Crosby would be you're talking multiple firsts, like a massive, like he would get almost anybody in the league. I think at this point would give up two firsts plus maybe three firsts for him, you know, at this stage. Like that's the kind of level of player I think he's considered. So, but yeah, I mean, and plus there's time to poke around. I think they also are smartly going to go, okay, well, let's see how we look. We have more time to get additional games under our belt. Dallas might just be an outlier. They looked fantastic defensively against Dallas. But, Joe, I mean, I'm with you. I think up front, I just don't see how it doesn't change. Like Hutchinson, last year he was good. This year he was great. I think he is absolutely the guy that flips the switch on that offense or that defense up front. They already had defensive injuries up front coming into the season that were problematic. I think they have to do something, but I don't know that it – you know, necessarily they want to run out there and burn a first. But also, I will say this, like, if you're going to do it now, because your window is now. Absolutely. Yes. This is your Super Bowl window. So go ahead and, like, burn that first. Burn it now, because you can't you can't let this close, or just assume, like Campbell said last year, you may not be here, you know, next year, and he's got to feel like that right now.
So, Charles, you bring up Devontae there. Now that the trade has gone down, you got the Jets at 2-4 with, I guess, Devontae Adams trying to come in and help save their season here. Amari Cooper goes to Buffalo, who the Titans will see coming up on Sunday. What do you make of those two moves?
Well, they were both the Jets and Adams has felt like something that was going to happen forever. Like Adams and Aaron were like, they never stopped texting each other. Like their friendship, and I don't even want to say it was like a real rocky patch, but I think Aaron was surprised. I think Aaron thought when he did his extension in Green Bay that Adams was going to come in behind him, do his extension. They were going to end up, you know, being there together. And Adams was like, nope, I'm good. I'm tired of waiting in line for this. I'm going to dip and I'm going to the Raiders and they're going to blow out my salary. And, you know, I get to play with Derek Carr. And I think Rodgers was, he would have never said it publicly, but when you talk to people close to him, they were like, yeah, he was surprised by that. And he was, you know, he was a little upset. I think he was happy to see Adams get paid, but he was just like, I thought we were going to do this together here, that, you know, all the chaos and kind of ruckus we raised in Green Bay was to get it done here. And then when it didn't, the fact that Adams kind of did it without telling Rodgers, it even surprised Rodgers. So I think once that wore off a little bit, the two, from what I was told, they maintained contact all this time. Once Carr was out with the Raiders, Adams, even though he did everything publicly to say the right things, I mean, it was clear he wanted out of there, particularly when they brought in Garoppolo. I was told inside the Raiders organization that it was clear that Adams was like, you really? Like, I came here to be with this guy? Like, this is like that. I think that was the straw that kind of broke the camel's back there when Josh McDaniels brought in Garoppolo. And the plan was they were going to trade him last offseason, but then the regime got fired. Dave Ziegler, the general manager, Josh McDaniels, both get fired. But they had planned to trade him this past offseason. So that gets remixed once they get ousted. But he and Rodgers never stopped talking to each other. And every time we go through the Jets, it was clear the Jets were like, yeah, we can add this guy. Like, as soon as the price is where it needs to be, we can add this guy. Well, the price wasn't where it needed to be, but the desperation was. It was clear Rodgers wanted to add that additional piece. I have no idea how it'll affect the offense. I really don't. I mean, to me, there's elements of it that don't make sense because I still think he's an intermediate to deep guy, and they've had issues. Rodgers is getting rid of the ball so fast. I'd be curious to see how exactly they're going to fold him into that offense and where they're going to get him the ball. Because, I mean, like even Garrett Wilson, most of the stuff Garrett Wilson's been doing there has not been super developed routes because they just don't have the opportunity. Aaron's like, I got to get this thing out. So that doesn't surprise me at all. The Bills one, I knew the Bills were shopping for a receiver for a while. You know, they were thin already. Keon Coleman, they're still trying to make the X thing work with him. I still think he would be better as a big slot. But you know, Cooper is a true X. You bring in, the price is where it needed to be. He's playing horribly though in Cleveland. I'll say that, like, his play had dropped off significantly. I felt like every Browns game I watched this year, I'd see a horrendous drop from him. And that's not his thing. He's a hands guy. He's a hands and routes guy. He can do that. And, part of me wonders if he had just grown tired of what was going on in Cleveland. Was
having
like,
to
no
catch
confidence.
Deshaun Watson passes. Yes.
Yeah. Losing the confidence of it. Just being like, you know, and, he had spates of that, I thought, in Dallas, where you were like some games where you're like, man, he does not seem completely mentally checked into this game right now. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Buffalo and you see the high end version of him, what's left of that. I will tell you this, two other teams that are shopping hard right now, Pittsburgh is trying really, really hard to add to the wide receiver room. And the Chiefs are absolutely like hammering the market. And when I talked to people leading into and coming out of the Adams trade, I was told like by multiple people, watch the Chiefs and the Steelers. Like they're going to be the next team. They're absolutely going to add before the deadline at some point. Different types of players, though. I think the Steelers are looking for, they really want an adult in the room. Like they need, like Pickens is just.
Like DeAndre Hopkins, for example?
I mean, like, I think Hopkins would fit. like if you're talking about like a sort of a higher end acquisition, I think if you're talking like mid level acquisition, like an Adam Thielen from the Panthers, I think is a possibility. I think the Chiefs are just looking for talent. You know, they're like, let's just go get the best guy we can possibly get, which is why I think you see a lot of people who are connecting Hopkins to the Chiefs. And so, you know, those will be other guys. I think, look, the Bengals aren't going to do another tag on T. Higgins. So I think you're going to see T is going to be a guy that's going to be available. You're going to see.
Even if they turn it around, even if they like they're hanging on the fringe right now.
So here's the thing. If they turn it around, remember, you got till November 5. So they really have to show that what you've seen is what is going to happen, you know, the remainder of the season, plus Burrow factors. Those are the two things that I think complicate this, because they're not going to deal with Burrow. You're not dealing with this guy. He just got back in the offense. Look at what the offense looks like. Look at how I'm playing right now. You can't take this guy away. But I'm telling you, they're not paying him. They're not going to pay. And the only way he gets paid is if they decide they're not paying Jamar Chase and they figure out a way to recoup whatever they can get out of Jamar Chase. And then they slide over to T and they go, okay, well, here's the deal Chase won't take. Where are we at on this? And then he becomes the number one there and they ultimately end up dealing Jamar Chase. But I'm telling you, it's the same situation. They're staring at this going, we're not going to pay this. I mean, I think his tag next year would be like 26 plus, 26 million plus. I think if they were to tag him again, it's just because Burrow's flat out told ownership, like, if you don't do this, you're going to have a problem with me. And my long-term future here is going to be up in the air at that point. So I think he could obviously affect it. Mike Williams with the Jets, he's out. Like they're trying to figure out. I think there's even a chance that if they deal Reddick, they could try to screw with a team that's picking up Reddick and say, hey, let's do a package. Like you could take Mike Williams.
Please take Mike too. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying, you know, it's like a salary offload with him. And, you know, obviously Rodgers said what he said after the loss to Buffalo about him not being in the right spot, which, by the way, I think, I don't know, Rodgers should have said it, but he was right. I mean, right. Mike did not run the route the way it was supposed to be run. Trying to think of who else. There were like 5-6 receivers that, you know, Hopkins is a guy that, so here's the thing with Hopkins. If you're the Titans, it's what is the return, you know? So if the return, if it's paltry, if you're talking about like a fifth, a team's like, look, we're not giving anything but a fifth. It is what it is, the situation with him and his age. I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth us, you know? Because at that point, you're just trying to get out of salary. And is it really worth taking something off the field that maybe helps continue to develop Levis? It, or at least showcases, you know, you're leaving a piece in place basically to give yourself potentially to win games. And then obviously to also give yourself an ability to continue to get the most authentic, I guess, report or look at Levis as possible, you know, whereas if you take him off, you know, it just, anytime you take talent away from a quarterback, I think that messes with the assessment or it gives you a different kind of assessment. We've already seen that kind of assessment last season with Levis. So you want to add more around him to understand how he'll function with the most talent on the field. I would ask you guys, if somebody offers you a fifth for Hopkins, do you take that?
It's not exciting, but I mean, it's an expiring deal.
At this point, I don't think he's going to be here next year anyway. So I would probably take
it. Well, he's not, but I mean, like, it's like, what, like, weigh that out. What signal are you sending, right? Like, you're basically telling, unless there's someone else on that wide receiver depth chart where you're like, we got to get this guy more opportunities. We have to open up, you know, catch opportunities for this
Traylon
other player.
Or
that's
NWI.
One thing. Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe, whatever.
I think it's like, I totally hear you, and we've talked about that on the Levis thing. Like, if this is an evaluation of Levis year, then now you take away. Now, of course, nothing is working now. I'd say if the next couple weeks, if they get blown out and he and Levis continues to struggle, then I think it's just like, you know, you try to recoup some things, right? But maybe if things flip, at least offensively, maybe that makes it a little tougher
right.
to do.
That so, affects it. Yeah, yeah absolutely. Yeah. Like I do think that's the process you go through weighing is, and that's why I think November 5th being that date and there being a couple of weeks before we get there is what can change the market pretty significantly. I can't remember what happened. Oh, I remember what happened last year. Denver. I mean, Denver was going to unload like a ton of guys last year at the deadline. I mean, it was like Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, it was like everybody in Denver. And then they like won a game. I just remember like something happened closer to the deadline where it was like, oh, that shifted things. And next thing you knew, it was like it completely tightened up. And I heard like, oh, yeah, no, Denver's kind of pushing a harder bargain on these guys. They don't seem as willing to you know, soften the price and it just closed the door. And it was because I think they had some success all of a sudden closer to the deadline. So that can definitely change the picture here. I think Pittsburgh though, if you're sitting there and you're a Titans fan, you're going where could they potentially ship like a DeAndre Hopkins? I think Pittsburgh is, they've been trying to get a wide receiver like all season. I was there in the, you know, training camp. They were trying, they thought they had the Ayuk deal was done. Package was agreed, you know, like 49ers are like, we're just waiting. Like is all Ayuk's got to do is say yes. And we close it. And then he just didn't. And, but they didn't stop after that. They continued to try, you know, they called on Adams and it was clear Devontae was not going to Pittsburgh. And that's the thing too, like Pittsburgh, I think they have their own, this Russell Wilson thing, like he's starting again. Like it's just like, it was weird, and I don't know if I brought it up last week's show, but it was weird on the Sunday night broadcast, I think it was last week, where, not just this past week, over a week ago, where Collinsworth and Tirico were talking about Russ, and I'm listening to him. I'm like, whoa, this sounds like Mike Tomlin told them in production meetings, we're starting that guy again. He's going to get a start, but you can't say that, but we're going to start him. It just, from the comments, like, Collinsworth was making, he was so sure Russell Wilson absolutely is going to be a starting quarterback in Pittsburgh again. And I even commented on it and people kind of ripped me. They're like, that doesn't mean I'm like, okay. I think him opening up starting snaps during the course of this week, you know, it could be a Jedi mind trick where you're like, okay, you know, we're going to make it look to Russ like we gave him an opportunity to get this job back. And then ultimately we're going to keep sticking with Fields. I think Tomlin wants to start Russ. I really do. I think he looks at Justin and he says, yes, there's a special aspect of the running dynamic that he brings to the table, but I still think Mike does not believe they're accessing the passing game at the level that they potentially could if Russell Wilson steps in there. I really think he wants to get a look at him. So that's another thing they got to sort out, obviously, too, before the deadline. And I wonder how much that plays into an acquisition, because I can tell you right now, when I brought up Pittsburgh to someone in the Devontae trade, they just laughed. Like this was like 2 weeks ago. They were like, he's not going there. That quarterback situation. They're like, no way, not in a million years. He's not going to go there. That's not happening.
Well, Charles, great stuff, man. As always, appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay. And before real quick, the rant, I cannot believe like any self-respecting program
in
a million years. Here's the question I have for you, because I have not seen this. Did they know when this person signed up for this, did they know that he was a Penn State fan?
I think so.
And they still went through it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Somebody
got fired, right?
Pocket change. Yeah, I need to hear from USC this week for sure.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. And you're right. Like I think it's overdone. The SEC is different. I do agree with it. I think it's a little, you know, it was a little too much chest pounding by SEC schools, but at least that would never happen. I can tell you
no chance. No Damn way. Right. No. No chance. Damn right, Charles.
No, not at all. That's I mean, it's even sad that even the Big Ten should be like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like,
what are we doing?
This isn't the foofy Pac-10 here. Like, this is, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like,
Pac-8.
Yeah, Pac-8, Pac-2, whatever Pac-2. It is at this point. Yeah. Yeah, that's unbelievable. You should get in on that, though.
I agree.
Does the radio station have the budget?
Just send us out there. I'll run out with – I don't care what colors you put me on. I'll just run out behind USC players and yell at them the whole
taunt
time.
People.
It's fine with me.
Yeah.
You should wear the radio station colors and run out.
There you go.
That's great. I think it's worth the – that would be worth the advertising alone.
I agree.
Frankly, if I was any business owner, I'd be like, as long as we can get footage of it, of you running out and whatever I want to put on you, let's get that. Let's put Joe back in the Tigers, the hard Tigers hat.
Yes,
okay? Or the hamburger,
the hard
or something,
Tigers hat, and a shirt that was a little too small.
Joe? Oh yeah, well, it's medium. Hard to find those right now.
The Schmedia.
Thank you, Charles. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
We'll react to what Charles Robinson had to say there. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game. Join 1025-1063 The Game and Joe Dubin from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday at Hope Fest 2024, a family-friendly festival celebrating hope found in the faith and recovery community. This event will be held at Bethel Church of the Nazarene at 455 Broadmoor Drive in Nashville from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with free food, games for the kids, mental health and recovery resources that are also available. The Tennessee Titans Alumni Association will be on hand with their vaccination clinic. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Joe, we got some breaking news. Adam Schefter putting it out there. That Jamal Adams being released from the Tennessee Titans. Titans are honoring the request of former Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams for his release. Adams is healthy, looking forward to his next opportunity, is what Schefter put out there. But Jamal Adams released from the Tennessee Titans.
Should I quote tweet that and CC Jeff Simmons?
Yeah, just be like, hey, remember that time you freaked out about people saying this may not work out for the Tennessee Titans?
Who weren't like, oh my God, it's the final piece for a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw, and I saw TD had a tweet a few days ago about a source, you know, basically that Adams was upset with his role or whatever. Obviously, the guy could barely get on the field at all.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's done. He's done in this league. I mean, he may bounce around. He may latch on another team or whatever. But look, the injury was horrific, and it's probably the biggest thing with him, but that's why you don't get that excited about – acquiring Jamal Adams, you know?
How many plays did he play for the Titans?
I know one gave me a two. Okay. I know he was over two snaps, but it's a low number. But that's, you know, like that one, the whole reaction, which again, there was no out-of-bounds reaction I saw. Jeff Simmons' reaction to it, which was just like, it's just like, why are you even bothering with this? And that was one of those, like, the chef ran chef hats on that one.
Yeah.
It was like, guys, But this is, you know, it's like a big name, someone who was formerly a good player gets people excited, but like pay attention to what actually has been going on in that person's career. He was never going to make a big impact for this team.
He had two snaps in the Jets game. He had 17 snaps in the Packer game and then one snap in the Miami game. So that is a total of 20 snaps as a member of the Tennessee Titans.
That 17 surprises me. I don't remember that.
I'm shocked by that.
But that shows you how impactful he was, too, because interesting.
20 snaps as a member of the Tennessee Titans for Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where he latches on.
So Dustin says, I thought he was injured, an off-the-field injury. Well, he was put on the NFI list, which, again, basically I think he just wanted out.
Yeah.
That's my read of the situation is he – wanted out, thought he must have been, should have been playing more or whatever, and they disagreed, and so he wants out. I mean, just like, you know, it's what it is, man. This is how careers go quickly in this league.
Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 7 matchup against the Bills, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on the program. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you want a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight taking on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. A standings update in the competition. No change from last time out. Rex Road still a 1-0 lead in the competition over Nick Kieser, myself, and all the listeners, which is technically Paul Kuharski's goal that he scored last week.
He owes me plenty.
He does. He does. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, John. John, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Tonight it will be Steven Stamkos.
There we go. John going with Steven Stamkos to get his first as a member of the Nashville Predators. I'm up next in the competition. Stamkos is off the board. I mean, I could go a couple different ways with this. There's one that is obvious and was obvious all of last year, but I got a hunch tonight, Joe. I think Marchessault scoring tonight. So okay. I will go Jonathan Marchessault. Stamkos, Marchessault. The new guys off the board. Rex Road, you're up next. Your pick to click for the Predators.
Well, Cole Smith, you failed me, so I'll go Forsberg.
That he did. Forsberg off the board now. Stamkos.
I had high hopes.
Marchessault, Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Ryan O'Reilly, give it to me.
O'Reilly.
I think he gets it done tonight on the power play.
How many times will this year, will this competition be those exact four names?
Several.
Yeah.
Not always.
Not always. You know, someone will sneak in a Nyquist. See if we can get
Josi.
He can get going. Someone will sneak in a Josi.
Brady Shea's going to get him some goals this year. Got one the other night. So there will be more.
Thomas
Novak.
Zeno.
Novak's got two right now.
I mean, what about sweet Luke E?
Yeah. There's a lot of options.
Forget the kid.
Be nice to even get a win tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a big win for them.
Would be a big win. You know, Skyler on our text line is asking us if, like, Dreisaitl is going to continue his hatred against Nashville tonight. Like, I don't know if he hates Nashville. Like, I think he like loves it. He's like,
he should love it.
The Predators, let's go play them. All right.
Yeah, it's like he's playing, you know, like table tennis here or table hockey. Just, you know.
I'm interested to see. Like, you never, I don't know if it's possible to like shut those guys down, right? Like, they're so good that you just hope that you can limit what they do. It would be a good night to see. Like, one thing I will say, this has been a problem all year, and if it's a problem for them tonight, they're going to get beat by about 9 goals. The odd man rushes that you're giving up, you don't want to give them up to anyone. You especially do not want to give them up to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So if there's ever a, you know, an emphasis on making sure that, you know, I know everybody hates the dump and chase and some boring decisions with the puck sometimes, but you can't be turning the puck over tonight and have McDavid and Draisaitl going the other way. That's how – that will get you destroyed in a hockey game.
Yeah. So like you've said, details.
Yes.
Got to be real attentive to the details. Todd Richards earlier, yeah, getting some good commentary on McDavid checking, but it's just – you have to be always around him. You have to just not give him space, right? Easier said than done.
Much easier
said than done. He finds that tiny little – glimpse of it, and all of a sudden it's in the back of your net and he's number 7 on the ESPN top 10.
I do think this is like a I don't know if gut check's the right word, but like it's an interesting opportunity for them to, you haven't won a game yet, you're 0-3. I think there's some natural urgency that creeps in. And look, in the big picture, the Predators are one of those teams in the Western Conference that is viewed as a challenger to Edmonton. So
absolutely,
an early season look at that. If you're them tonight, like I'd lean into that. Like, all right, let's see what we got against these guys. I think there's, you know, like a, you know, a pride in performance that comes along with it too. Like they need to go out there and play well tonight. And maybe it doesn't result in it. Like it's possible for you to play really well against Edmonton and still lose. So we've seen that happen a lot. But it'd be nice to see them go out there tonight and execute and play well and do some of the things and stop making some of the mistakes that have just been killing them early in the year.
Yeah, look, this is I expect months from now, I do expect both of these teams. We know Edmonton now, but I expect both of these teams to be among the top teams in the West. So this is an early test. But it is more, right now it is more the cliche of it's more about us if you're the Preds. You know, it's just find a different level, higher level of play. And I mean, Andrew Brunette, first of all, I'm very fascinated to see what the lineups look like.
I am too.
I think it could be a number of different things. He said, what do you say? Everything's on the table, right?
Yep.
And I think this is the appropriate time for a response to show up on the ice now.
I have no idea if this is what it's going to be, but this is the line I'm hoping to see tonight. I want to see Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos together. I figured we'd probably see that at some point this year. I want to see what that looks like tonight. And they actually put those three out there together toward the end of the game the other night, and the game was over at that point. But they had a couple of good looks. I'd like to see that for a game and see what it looks like.
Why not? I mean, it's
– you got to get Stamkos going.
Yeah, you got to get him going. That's a loaded line. Nyquist got to pick it up.
There are a lot of guys got to pick it up. But, like, look, I'm worried about this with Nyquist. And, again, we're three games in, so we'll see how it goes. And he's – I think he does a lot of things the right way. But you are talking about a guy that at 35 years old last year had a career season. You don't really see that happen very often.
Yeah.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say that that might have a steep decline this year. We've talked about that. So we'll see what that looks like. Morning skate coming up here in about an hour and a half, so we'll see what the lineup looks like for the Predators at that point. Joseph, good show. That does it for us today here on the program.
We'll see
if the Predators win tonight. Lots to talk about tomorrow. We'll get to the Predators, Oilers, Tennessee, Alabama coming up this weekend, Vanderbilt, Ball State, and, of course, the Titans and the Bills. Full show coming up tomorrow. That does it for us today. Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.